Hello, this is Pam Hartley from Connecticut Innovations. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about venture capital investment terms. Our presenter is Frank Marco, a partner with the law firm Wiggin & Dana and chair of the firm's Private Equity and Emerging Companies Practice Group. For today's topic, Frank draws upon his extensive 30-plus year experience in advising both emerging growth companies and venture capital investors in corporate law, finance, mergers and acquisitions. And with that, I'll pass it over to you, Frank.
Thank you, Pam. The principles I'm going to discuss today are fundamental to investments by institutional venture capital professional investors, but they're also applicable to investments by other sophisticated investors, such as angels. Therefore, I think you'll find them informative from that standpoint. From your company standpoint, you should have first determined your financing strategy and the type of capital you're looking for based on your goals and your business plan, your needs for capital, your willingness to accept dilution, time to market issues, the valuation of the company, the stage the business is at, and personal issues, including a self-analysis of whether you want to have partners at the table, on your board of directors, et cetera. Also, does your enterprise meet the venture capital profile so you don't waste time trying to approach those kinds of investors, sizing up the management and the business model, and whether you're in a field that's attractive to venture investors? Based on that strategy, you'll want to carefully execute. Choose your investors carefully, narrowing the field, finding investors hopefully that have expertise in your area, looking at their portfolio and the background of their principals, doing your due diligence on them, talking to CEOs of other companies they've invested in to see how they've added value, and then approaching investors hopefully through introductions that you might receive from mentors, advisors, angel investors, and others. As far as the stages, as you approach investors, there's the getting to know you stage, where you'll hopefully get to meetings with investors as a goal based on your executive summary and those introductions. Then an initial business due diligence stage where the investors will conduct diligence on the feasibility of the model, technology review, market analysis, and the background and capabilities of the management. At some point then, there will be a term sheet, which would be negotiated. The term sheet is typically non-binding and lays out the basic terms of the investment, but there are some binding provisions such as exclusivity in it. You'll want to keep focusing on valuation as a key term during the whole process, making sure that you're receiving the best value for your business. Then there'll be extensive business and legal due diligence as you move down from the term sheet, the handshake, through to get to the closing. Analysis of the intellectual property, the team, the business model, the market, customers, et cetera. And then a documentation and closing phase. Following the closing, through the life of the investment, the investors will be monitoring the investment, participating in regular board meetings, investor meetings, and you'll want to avoid surprises and keep them apprised of both good news and bad news. And then finally, a liquidity stage, where the investor, as an investor, will typically seek to capitalize on its investment by either selling the company or selling its securities. Through the whole process, it's really a long-term cooperative relationship. At each step of the way, you'll need to build trust, share goals and expectations with the investors. This whole process can take upwards of 180 days, so it's something obviously you need to be planning on, and it's a job for somebody to manage that process. As far as the key concepts for venture capital investments, they are typically highly structured. They provide downside protection to the investor should things not go right according to plan. They also, on the other hand, provide upside equity rights, since the investor's goal is to participate in that upside through equity in the company. They provide provisions for protection of the enterprise, liquidity rights, and control rights. Now, drilling down into those, a key feature is the type of security that the investor will buy. It typically is not common stock, but rather is a preferred security, either debt or more commonly convertible preferred stock. This gives them the downside protection through a liquidation preference that should the company be sold or liquidated, that they will receive their money first off the top On the other hand, there's also what's called participating preferred, that in addition to receiving that liquidation preference, the amount they invested plus any accrued dividends, that they'll also participate on an as-converted basis with the common stockholders. There are usually features for some type of an accruing dividend, and of course there are features that provide for the conversion of the preferred stock into common stock should the investor choose, or should the company do a minimum size public offering. Another feature of that conversion are what are called anti-dilution provisions. Since the investor is investing based on an agreed valuation of the company, should the company have to sell stock at a price lower than what the investor paid, they will be looking for some type of an adjustment in their purchase price to give them the benefit of that reduced valuation. And they'll look for either what's called a full ratchet or a weighted average formula type of an adjustment. The documentation will also have extensive representations and warranties about the company and the principals. Extensive information will be solicited about the company regarding its capitalization, contingent liabilities, compliance with law, its intellectual property status, and other matters. Control, another key feature, is provided in a number of ways. First, the investor will have the rights to participate on the board of directors and have people designated and elected to the board of directors. So this is an area of extensive negotiation. It's probably one of the most critical features, since obviously the board sets policy, the board hires and fires employees. The composition of the board is an area of much discussion, and often what the result is what's called a split board, where the investors might have the right, for example, to elect two directors. The common stockholder founders might have the right to elect two directors, and those four directors can select a mutually agreeable fifth independent director. There are also protective provisions through affirmative and negative covenants. The affirmative covenants provide what the company shall do, including things such as providing financial information, providing budgets to the investors, providing inspection rights. The negative covenants are things the company shall not do without the consent of the investor group, things such as selling debt, incurring liens, selling the company, selling additional preferred securities. There are also preemptive rights. The investor will want the right to participate in future financings so that it can maintain its percentage interest in the company. Also, rights of refusal. Should the common stockholders choose to sell their stock or try to sell, that the investors have the right to buy those shares. There are also then liquidity rights. These are provided through things such as registration rights, which is the right to basically force the registration of the investor's shares in a public offering. Redemption rights, usually the last resort, but usually hardwired into the documents, that the investor, after a certain period, has the right to put their shares to the company. And there are variations as far as the price at which that can be done. It may be as simple as the original purchase price plus accrued dividends, or it may be the greater of that or the fair market value at the time of the redemption. There are also often drag-along rights, which give the investor the right to force the common stockholders to participate in any sale of the company, even if they decide they don't want to, so they have to vote for it. As far as protection of the franchise, you can expect that the key employees of the company will have to sign non-competition agreements for someplace between 1 and 2 years, and that they will sign the normal confidentiality and invention assignment agreements. Founders often try to get employment contracts for themselves. Those are often resisted by investors, but they sometimes can be negotiated. And at a minimum, things such as severance benefits, should a person be terminated without cause, are often provided. So you'll want to work through these provisions, starting with basically when you start talking to the investors and get to the term sheet stage through the documentation phase, and work through them with your advisors. And as indicated in the beginning, this is a long-term relationship. You don't necessarily need to win every battle. You want to win the war. And in this case, the war is hopefully where you and the investors are aligned, and you set the stage through that relationship and through how you negotiate these issues for that long-term cooperative relationship. Thank you. It's my pleasure to have provided this presentation. Please feel free to call if you have any questions or comments.
Thank you, Frank. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, ctinnovations.com, to friends and colleagues and encourage them to visit our resources page. You can check there for other useful podcasts as well as articles and other content geared to Connecticut businesses that are growing or just getting started. Also, you can, as Frank mentioned, you can contact him directly in his New Haven, Connecticut office at fmarco@wigan.com. Please visit our site again and let us know if there are any specific topics you'd like us to cover. We welcome your suggestions. And thanks once again for listening.